We're so proud of our 12-pounder, we're going to share. 12 one-pound boxes of Godiva chocolates given away this Friday at Cape Buffalo on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
6:37, this Friday, those who mew so gently will be doing so at Stone Appliance.
Ooh.
Main Street 114 in Grapevine. They'll be there from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. So go by there and see them. We understand they're going to have some very, very foxy ticket chicks.
So what do we have? Day. Foxy.
So go see them at Stone Appliance this Friday. All right, we are discussing the Beatles and their first appearance 40 years ago last night on the Ed Sullivan Show in New York City.
What do you think the spike in album sales were after that show? It had to be unbelievable. I bet it was bigger than after any other live performance on television. It had to have been.
And you know, at that time, I don't remember radio stations really making a big deal about the Beatles quite yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured that would have been a lot bigger deal radio-wise than they were on TV simply because they hadn't been on TV.
No, they played them. I mean, they played them, but it was just... I don't know. It seems to me, and I may be wrong about this.
No, maybe, you're right.
Maybe others have a more vivid memory, a more clear memory of this than me, but...
I've read that there were stations that played their music, but there was really no...
Yeah, there was no
There was
real,
nobody really getting behind
it. Yeah, there was no real buzz on this just yet.
Now, in this DVD, it's got some footnotes in it and just some quotes from the different Beatles. Paul McCartney said that a New York DJ named Murray the K was the man most onto the Beatle case.
Hey, it's Murray the K.
Doing midday.
Hey, old, let's check out the Beatles.
Said he had seen it coming and had already grabbed a hold of it. We were very impressed, and we used to ring his radio show when he was on the air. Said we'd give him all the exclusive interviews because we loved him. And they show this in this documentary, that all the guys are walking around in their hotel rooms with these AM radios with single mono earpieces, and they'll call into the radio show and
talk to Murray the K, give him the scoop.
Well, I remember out here in the hinterlands, the Beatles were played. They were on the KLIF Top 40 survey whenever they had something new out, a new single. But that was, I mean, they were just another thing that you heard on Cliff.
Now, they did run promos on Cliff for the Beatles' U.S. trip.
They did?
And contests and stuff like that, yeah. Probably could find some of those in the next break. Oh, show's almost over.
Mm-hmm. Steve Everhart might have some.
I think that's where I have them from.
Well, I don't remember them being that big of a deal quite yet, though. But after the Ed Sullivan Show, it all exploded. It all went nuts. I mean, so big, but they were on Ed Sullivan the 2 weeks after that first time, and that was unheard of. I mean, he never had anybody on his show back-to-back-to-back.
Much less 3 weekends in a row.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't do that.
You want to hear some of the stuff from Miami?
Yeah.
This was his road show, I guess, that he did, and I'm sure all this was based around their trip. He basically followed the Beatles to Miami. They were hanging out there on the beach and... You know, visiting, you know, hanging out on the beach in the hotel. And he brought his show down, and I don't know what studio it was in, but they ended up performing like 4 or 5 songs.
It was
songs.
At the Fountain Blue.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So let's listen to From Me to You.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. 1, 2, 3. Da da da.
Just call on me, and I'll bend it along with love on me.
You think they realized?
That's kind of how it was.
In those few weeks, even though those girls were 12, 13 years old, that they were thinking collectively as a group, we could bang anyone in this country right now if we wanted to.
I bet that ran through their mind.
I bet quite a bit of that type of thing went on, too.
You think?
Mm-hmm. With girls of age, of course.
Or not. Different time, Mike.
Not really.
Not that different.
Oh. Did you think that sounded any better?
Yeah, it did.
Now, the drum sounded a little bit better, and I noticed when in watching this that they did have one microphone on the drums. It's
however,
kind of sitting right in the middle.
However, I suspect that if you actually went to see the Beatles play, the experience was more like what we heard on All My Lovin', where you really couldn't make out much of anything. You could hear, you know, just little snippets of it every now and then fairly clearly, but mostly what you heard was a dull roar.
Well, at Shea Stadium, when they eventually played there, they piped in through the PA. That's
the
it.
Stadium,
the stadium PA.
Wow.
They played through that.
But that sounded great.
They said they couldn't hear a word themselves.
Probably didn't have anything to base it on, though. Probably what everybody did.
Yeah, and, you know, it's very easy for us to talk today about that type of thing, but, you know, those were far more primitive times all the way around back then.
They didn't have the big, elaborate PAs that they do now, or the monitoring system. It didn't exist.
It's amazing that those guys can sing even halfway in key, because they have no monitors at all on stage. They're just getting whatever feedback is rumbling through the studio from those main speakers.
So listen to one more.
This is from when they went back to New York City before they went back to Liverpool, their third Sullivan appearance on this trip, and I think this is Please Please Me.
For those who never saw any of this, as the screams would rise and fall, I guess they had monitors all throughout the studio there. And they would put the face of one of them or show a close-up of one of them on the monitor. And the girls who were particular fans of that one would scream. And, you know, the guys were able to see that they were on the monitor. They'd hear the girls scream.
They'd look sometimes over and see themselves.
Yeah.
It has their name underneath.
And they'd grin a little bit, you know.
Did you see, I thought the funniest part of last night when they showed their first performance on Letterman was when they panned to the crowd. I don't know where those girls came from. Like, where were their parents? You know, were they sitting outside waiting on them? Because those were little girls, but
probably just from all the boroughs. They probably just came from all over the city,
I guess, but there was a couple of shots where they showed this big old man who was just sitting. He looked like a giant frog. Did you see him? He had white hair.
Yeah.
And he was just sitting there in the middle of all these screaming girls just looking at that scene going, he was probably close to 65 or 70 and not smiling. He
Mike
had no
Reiter.
Expression.
Because not everybody was on board with
well,
him.
I know. I'm saying he was probably there with his granddaughter or something, I mean, sitting there going, what is this trash?
Hey, that's how the grown-ups, that's how they reacted to the Beatles back then.
I mean, they looked at them like that hair and, you know, singing and the way they were dancing around. That was not good. I bet it didn't play very well in the Bible Belt at all.
Didn't play very well in the Reiner household, especially when I told my dad I wanted a Beatle haircut like that.
He said, you are not going to grow up to be the PR guy for the Rangers.
Did you ever attempt it, though? Like, start growing it out and...
And try to comb it down real straight with dippy-doo?
I've seen that picture of you.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have seen it.
Is that what you were going for?
That was more of a surfer cut.
Yeah, that was more of a surfer cut.
Did you just struggle every day with your hair?
Totally. I did. It was the bane of my existence back then. I don't know what was worse. That, weighing 112 pounds in the 10th grade, or zits, or the glasses. Those four things were the bane of my existence.
No wonder you were so bitter. I mean, what a mountain you had to climb.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All the way around.
Right.
You know, here's what I wonder about that. After they had the...
Look at you now, man. Look at you now. Mike Reiner.
After they had that first
the
appearance...
The hard line.
Do you think somebody from CBS told their salespeople, hey, go out, because these rates aren't good anymore? Because they know what kind of...
You mean for the next two shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they did. I just wonder what kind of... I bet those rates went up.
Ovaltine.
What? Huh? Mark that.
Ovaltine.
Snake. I just like those old-timey commercials where they show, like, Milton Berle in the middle of his show smoking a cigarette and going, Chesterfields, they're for everyone.
As we later found out, he was right. All right, 6:50 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Let's gear up for the two-minute drill, doing so by clearing the lines and reloading accordingly, and we'll see what's up with Big Dick Hunter next.